Amen. 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 Good morning. This is a beautiful day that God has made here for us. And sometimes we have to truly look at all that God has done for us in our life. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes and look to the Father. Dear God, as we come before you now, we pray that you continue to pour out your Spirit here among us at Goodwill. Let us receive what that you have for us, Lord. Pour out your anointing upon us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what thus says the Lord. Let us move and grow as you've called us, Lord God, and let us walk into our destiny that you have set for us. And let us go and build the kingdom that you have created and started. Let us move and strengthen all that you command. I ask now, Lord God, that you remove me and fill this broken vessel with your power and your anointing so that your people might hear what thus says the Lord. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Where we started is we started in Romans 8, and Pastor stood before you and read the scriptures. And this has been a process. A process has been going on for, well, probably a lot longer than a couple of weeks, but it's a recent development in my life. And today's message may not touch you or move you at all, and if it doesn't, I'm sorry for you. It might just be for me. This might just be for me. And if it's not for you, just sit back and listen to my lovely voice for a little bit. Because God laid something on my heart that challenged me to my very core. In my life, I have aha moments where God just brings things to a screeching halt and says, this is incorrect. You need to do this now. And it changes my perception on things. This has been the second, well, maybe not second, there might have been many of them, but the previous one that I remember struck me to my core was the Lord revealed to me that I can't save people. He explained to y'all laughing, I thought I could. I don't know what y'all, I said, here I am sharing God's good news. Y'all go do right. And the Lord explained to me, you can't save someone. He goes, I let people choose, so you don't get that right to make someone change their mind. If I am God and all my power give you free will to choose me freely, who are you to tell somebody to do the right thing? And I remember this broke me down, and it caused a great shift in my life, and it made me realize some things. Well, over the last few weeks, I've been dealing with mental angst, and I was working through some things, and I sat down and I talked to a teacher friend of mine, and she's a sweet lady. She's an older woman, and God talks to her, and I can recognize that, because when you sense certain people's spirits, you can discern certain things from them. And everybody who speaks things to my life, I don't listen to, but some people, when they say something, it registers and it strikes a chord, and I begin to listen. And I was just talking to her about different things, and she said, you don't know who you are. And I said, what do you mean I don't know who I am? I know who I am. She goes, you don't know who you are. She said, you have a perception of reality that isn't accurate. You're holding on to a past image of yourself. I said, what? And she says, and on top of everything else, you're not happy. And that hit me. Because I wasn't. I absolutely was not happy. And we began to talk about growth. And growth as a person. And she began to explain to me, she says, she didn't say this, but this is the shortened version. She goes, you ain't growing up. You're not maturing. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you allude to yourself in a certain way. You have a preconceived notion of what you think you are. She says, you're quick to say, I'm selfish. I don't do that. Or you're quick to say, I don't even care. And she says, those are immature things. She goes, but you're not immature. You're very wise. You're actually far older than you are mentally capable of what you accept. She said, you're holding on to what you once were, but you're not that anymore. And I said, what are you talking about? I know what I am. She says, no, you know what you think you are. She said, but you are actually a very different person. She says, you're not nearly as selfish as you try to put on. You try to convince people that you don't care, that you just are floating by and that it's whatever, but that's not how you actually feel. She goes, your actions don't show that. She goes, I can see in you. She says, the way you talk to people, she says, the way you act, the way you interact with your wife, your child, that's not something a selfish person does. She says, you're not selfish. You just think about your past self. And that's what you once were. We're going to jump into a text and we're going to come back to Romans. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is the model we strive for. This is the model we try to live like. And for many of us, you're doing those things. You have put on the new man. You have begun to live these godly principles. But there's a problem. The problem is you don't see the new man in the mirror. You see the old you. Now you're acting on these Christian and godly doctrines, but you still think of yourself as that person who is out in the world or in the street. Or who is immature and only focused on yourself. And so, as I was reading Romans, and I read Romans and I read Romans, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna preach about. We had this talk on Tuesday, and I kept reading Romans, and I read Romans 5, and that sounded good, and I wanted to do that, but it didn't really register, and I got to Romans 8. And how many know there's more than one translation of the Bible? Okay. I'm going to let you know there's more than one translation of the Bible. The Bible isn't just in the King James. There's the NIV. There's the Amplified. And there's one I really like that I occasionally go to called the Common English Bible. Now, as I read Romans 8 in the Common English Bible, starting at verse 7, it said this. It said, so the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. And I woke up right then and there. I said, I know what I'm going to talk about. God said, Many of you are following after what I've asked you to do, but you have not yet seen yourself as you truly are. You were still thinking you're that old person. And see, you occasionally try to do the old things and you wonder why you're having these trouble. And so my title today is very simple. Look again. Look again. Now there are three things that I got as I read through Romans. And as I began to look at Romans, and I looked at some of the things it said, it talked about the phrase, the flesh. And the scriptures use the word flesh in five ways. It may refer to the body, our physical being, the old nature, our sin nature, the skin, our man's immature nature. Now, for the sake of this, we're going to use three things. We're going to use the phrase selfishness, because selfishness is very much tied to immaturity, and is also tied into the old man or the old sin. Selfishness, in and of itself, is an immature emotion. It's something that you try to teach children not to do. I have a 2-year-old and I'm trying to explain to her that everything is not hers. She tells me quickly everything is mine. And I tell her, no, you don't have a job. It's not yours. And God wants you to know that everything belongs to Him. You don't have nothing. It ain't yours. And so selfishness is almost synonymous with immaturity. And there is nothing more sinful than focusing on yourself. Pastor, what's wrong with focusing on yourself? It's very simple. When you focus on yourself, you don't focus on God. And we are not here to do our will, but thy will be done. Amen. So we look at verse 7, and it says, and I'm going to read from the Common English Bible, and we can follow along in the King James, because I'm going to use some words back and forth, so stay with me. It says, so the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, because it can't. Verse 8, people who are self-centered aren't able to please God. Let's switch it. People who are immature aren't able to please God. People who are in old sin aren't able to please God. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is, you're not happy. You don't have joy. Pastor, I think I'm fine. I like things I do, and that's why I do them, because they bring me joy and happiness. And I'm going to tell you, they don't. You think they do, but the problem is, it doesn't last. You do it for a little bit, and then it's that empty feeling that you always had before. So, and the reason is because verse 7, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means there's a war. There is opposite forces. There is a conflict. These two things don't get along. And when there's this conflict and these two things get along, it causes upsetness in your body. So here you are as a Christian who's doing what God says, but you don't see yourself that way. And so there's this constant war in your spirit because you don't know who you are. And so as this war is going on, you're constantly battling. And you're saying, well, I'm going to do this, but I don't really want to do it. And so since I don't really want to do it, I'm going to go do this other thing instead. And you ain't finding no peace in that thing that you're doing. We already are battling with our innate flesh that tells us to do one thing. Now, many of us have started to push down this flesh, but we keep letting it rise back up because we claim something that is not. We fall back on, this is just what I do. I'm selfish. I love me some me. Maybe y'all don't say that. Maybe I just say that. I don't know. But God said, that ain't really you. That's not really who you are. You've put down a great deal of things. You've sacrificed a great deal. You've changed. You've moved on. You give your time to other things that before you would never have done. You think that you're selfish. You think that you're immature. You think that you are running from responsibility. But you've been doing it all along. You've been doing it all along, but you won't accept it. You won't accept who you've become. You won't accept who you've become. And so there's that constant warring in your spirit because you're changing. On the spiritual level, you're changing, but you refuse to acknowledge your change. Preach to myself. Verse 9. Common English Bible says, but you aren't self-centered. You aren't. Instead, you are in the Spirit. If in fact God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Him. Well, so you start doing simple math. You say, well, I do show certain qualities of the Spirit. I show love, I show charity, I show compassion. But why am I hanging on to this selfishness? Why am I hanging on to this past representation of who I once was? And the Bible says very clear, it says, you aren't. You aren't. Instead, you are in the Spirit. So I'm telling you, that was the old you. That was the old you. That's not who you are now. You've grown. You've matured, and it's time for you to start to accept who God has called you to be and who you've been living and growing in and day out. I'm almost done. 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. A lot of these and stuff and may have not resonated. So let's read it simply. If the Spirit of the one who raised, oh, sorry, that's 11. Let's read 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it isn't an obligation to ourselves to live our lives on the basis of selfishness. If you live on the basis of selfishness, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live. Good, well, I stand before you telling you, you have to grow. Anything that doesn't grow is dead. Anything that doesn't grow is dead. So you're growing whether you want to accept it or see it or not. The change is occurring. So my advice is to stop having that war within and not accepting where God has moved you and claiming things that used to be, but stand where you are. Acknowledge what God has done for you in your life and stop trying to fight it or run from it, but accept the new man that God has created. Let that person show. Let that grow. Nurture that and claim that. Because if you hang on to the old, you will die. If you don't grow, you will die. If you lean on self and lean on selfishness, the only thing that's promised to you is death. So in short, accept where you've come from and then get past it. That's what you used to do. That's what you once did. And there's a reason it just doesn't feel the same anymore. I ain't gonna get too real with y'all because then y'all gonna start thinking about Reverend Patterson. But you can't do what you used to do. You just can't. You can't party like you once partied. You can't hang out like you once hung out. You ain't built for that no more. There's a new you. And the new you doesn't connect to those things. But you still think, but it was fun. And I like that. But there's something new. And there's joy in the new thing. But we're afraid to move forward because we think we might miss out. So I'm telling you, grow. Accept the growth. And look again. Amen.